Derby Spirit has pinched the Oaks by four lengths.
But a champion becomes a legend. Makati Deaver has won it.
Hello and welcome to .com and the Den Mondays for another week. We're winding down toward our season finale, but we've got Group 1 races to talk about. I'm Roger Aldridge. Joining me, of course, from Wolf Den is Richard Irvin. Rich, you're in your normal den. I'm out of my comfort zone. I'm away from home. I'm up in Noosa. I'm sitting in my best mate's home office, which looks a little bit like a jail cell. There's some Brisbane Broncos merchandise near me, which concerns me. It makes me feel uncomfortable.
You're a bit flighty. You're a bit like a two-year-old having their first run, aren't you? You just don't seem to be a bit all at sea, but I'm sure you'll come good. What a weekend of racing, Rog. It was a bit of a bender, really. Went all the way into last night. I was watching the Champions and Chater Cup from Hong Kong. Fantastic racing. Let's get into it, starting in Doomben, of course.
The Straight Six.
Yes, there's absolutely only one place to start the Straight Six, and that is with the Doomben Cup. Antino was 12 lengths off him at the halfway mark. Now, he's a backmarker, so that means he's going to need luck, but I don't know about you, Rich. He's not a traditional backmarker because he doesn't swamp them late. He makes a move a lot earlier, or certainly since he's sort of become this star horse in the last 12 months, that he gets up toward the front of the pack by about the turn, and then he doesn't need as much luck in that last 200 or 300 metres. So he's able to put fields away, as we've seen in the Hollandale, as we saw in the Toorak last year, and as we've seen here in the Doomben Cup. This was a stunner.
He's got sustained, unmatchable speed at the level he was at on Saturday. And it's pretty rare. You know, you think back of all the really good horses that we've had over the years. There's not many horses that have the racing pattern and style that he does. He does. Very exciting. I think we can all say now he's the second best horse in the country. Of course, it's debatable. Let's go to Dan O. So I text Dan O this morning because I wanted to know how the rating went. And this is what he told me. Antino, 106.5, better than his 104 rating Hollandale. And just below his 107.2 Group 1 Toorak win, he's undeniably the second best horse in the country behind Via Sestina, well ahead of whoever we want to declare as the third best. So
he's been stunning this prep, like we say. But we've got to remember that his fiercest competition for the big ones are currently in the paddock, and that is Via Sestina. Now, would I have said he's the second best horse in the country? Well, I hadn't really thought that deeply about it. But if Dan O'Sullivan thinks that, then I'm definitely not going to argue because I think he is the guru. So that makes for an exciting Cox plate because Antino is now proven at 2,000 metres. Via Sestina, we saw what she did in the Cox plate last year. Absolute demolition job. Now, we've got some good three-year-old fillies who will be four-year-old mares by the spring come through. We've got some pretty handy two-year-olds. So we might get a couple of lightweight three-year-olds getting the Cox plate. So even if we don't get an international star come out here, that Cox plate off the back of Antino's performance in the last sort of month or so, this is shaping up as a ripper because this is going to be billed as Antino versus Via Sestina, and then who are the new kids on the block?
Yeah, and his path towards the Cox Plate will be he'll go into the Memsie, then the Mackay Bidiva, and probably the Fian. You got to remember that he was in the Fian last year, and you remember he was third favourite, I think, and Mr. Brightside and Pride of Jenny were the two favourites, and Pride of Jenny was too good that day. Let's just quickly talk about Pride of Jenny. Do we think it's time to retire her? I thought it was good that
again.
That's right. Didn't make the decision to retire on race day. Just take a bit of time with it. Look, I think they just need to sort of take their time with it and see maybe she comes back again in the spring. It just comes down to what him and Kieran want to do, I guess.
She has done enough that she should enjoy a very happy retirement if she's saying she doesn't want to race anymore. And that does happen with horses. They just decide they don't want to race. Now, she is a fierce competitor, and she obviously won her last start, but she won her last start and she should have smacked them, and she didn't. It was just a pass mark, as we said on this show. Now, she goes out in this field, a Group 1 field, not a banner Group 1 field. Yes, maybe we have the second best horse in the country, but she's not exactly taking on a star-studded lineup, and she was gone at the turn. I think that the decision will be, I think they will retire her
because probably.
I think she's saying that she's had enough and she's earned it at retirement. Because she was that too. She became a bit like, well, Antino's always been there and thereabouts. Jenny came from nowhere and all of a sudden had this unbelievable run, set the racing world alight. But maybe that fire's gone out now and it's time for her to go and enjoy life in the paddock.
And let's just talk about a couple of the other horses in the race. So obviously, Faulkner Park going along lovely. He's just not even near Antino's grade, but Antino won't be in the Q22. So you think Faulkner Park will be a fantastic chance in that. Maybe Militarise. Militarise keeps hitting the line well. He could be a Q22 chance. And Kovalika as well, just always consistently coming on from the back. Maybe he'll get
never winning
in the Q2. We didn't know this is true. But why don't we look at the clocks plate market, Rog, before we move on from these middle distance horses. So there you go. Villa well up the top. Look, we're not suggesting anyone get stuck in any of these horses, but I just wanted to put a bit of context to where we are and what you were saying earlier. Obviously, you got Aliana, Lady Shenandoah, Treasure of the Moment as well. So those three-year-old fillies who will be four by the time the Cox Plate comes along.
Yeah, and then we've got some, we may not have had a star two-year-old, but we've got some, I think we've got a really nice crop of two-year-olds who are going to be the three-year-olds. And, you know, there's nothing like seeing a three-year-old come in at, what is it, 48.5, 49.5 in a Cox Plate. I can't remember what the weight for age scale is for a three-year-old. But it does make for an exciting race. Always the best race of the year. And this one is shaping up, albeit we are a long way out. Let's move on because there's another promising horse on the scene as well. Now, Filler is clearly a stayer with a lot of upside. Almost she's the new one on the block. I was on Benegill here. She's had a really nice prep. I thought maybe she'd come to the end of it, but she did get caught up for a run, as you, Julie, pointed out when we had a chat yesterday, Rich. But I thought after an early go that Filler would get back out in the market. It was a sustained go on the punt, and she delivered as you'd want her to.
Yeah. Look, I think All Honours with the winner, just because she did it pretty hard out in tough early on, got a little bit of a break in the mid stages. And then she really kicked off the turn and put a pretty good margin on them. Of course, you had Moving Out and Jenny's Meadow coming on strong there. Both great Oaks trials from them. But she'll go on to the Oaks. I was interested that they put her in as favourite. Not really sure.
Well, Benegill open favourite. Open favourite. And then there was just, from the moment the market opened on Wednesday, and we'll chat to Tommy Hackett about this when we get to Cook the Book, because I'd be very interested to see what sort of a result it was. It was a sustained go. Thought she was sort of six out to, you know, about 480 by Wednesday afternoon. I thought she'd drift back out. She certainly did not. She jumped a clear favourite.
Yeah, they bet as much as 750. I think the King Zone tipped her up strong on the Saturday set at about $4.80. Correct me if I'm wrong, I think she might have paid $2.80 on the World Tote.
Yeah, it was short.
We're going to look at the Oaks market in a second. So the interesting thing is we've got the Derby this weekend where we've got Feminale. And we've also got Belle d'Etel probably going around. So it'll be
Feminile. Don't stuff it up like the Australian race caller did.
So we've got to wait and see if either of them back up into the Oaks. Let's bring the Oaks market up. There it is. I reckon Filia gets out. I think you're going to see firming. I think Benegil probably firms from that.
Yeah, I thought Jenny's Meadow was a cracking run. She was a $35 pop, and I think she's tuning up very nicely. The way she ran that out was a very impressive run at a big price.
And then Let's Fly, I don't know if you saw it, it absolutely pissed in at Randwick, won by about 7 or 8, but it was a $34 chance at Randwick, so could have been a little bit of an anomaly, but there you can see it.
And it was a very heavy track at Randwick on Saturday, so there was a few wet trackers getting up in some pretty heavy conditions. That is a nice market. I'm looking forward to the Queensland Oaks. I'm also looking forward to the Stradbroke Handicap, and well, the Hay Stable has a very nice chance going in to the Stradbroke because War Machine won the BRC Sprint at the weekend. Now, he's been heavily back favourite the last few starts. The last two, he's actually saluted. They've been kissed on the you-know-what with War Machine because he's come into the stable as part of that Dullymore absorption, and now he's just hammering toward the Group 1 Stradbroke Handicap. He attacked the line very, very nicely, and you would hope he would have done so the way he was unloaded on in the market. He's going to be a lightweight, big-time hope in the Stradbroke.
Yeah, well, he showed what the grit that you need to win a Group 1 handicap, that he just had that kick. Even under pressure, he could still kick even more. That's what you need to be able to win a war, to win a Stradbroke. And he's into favourite. We'll have a look at that one second. Just quickly, Coleman. Did you see Coleman, Rog? Pretty disappointing, and you'd have to think that even Chris Waller and the connections, in particular, the person who just bought the 10% share for $400,000 must be a little bit worried because he just looks disinterested in racing. Yeah, you could geld him, but then you don't, you know, as you say, lose a stallion but gain a racehorse.
Yeah, but you'd want to, it's going to be hard to make up that $400,000 for a 10% share. That's a lot of prize money. You've got to win $4 million in prize money. I know there's a lot of prize money on the tables these days, but they're still hard to win races. Just on War Machine, the horses behind him got in quicksand the way he was pushing towards the line there. It was The more I watch that replay, the more impressive I am. The more impressed I am with it.
His effort through the line was excellent, wasn't it? Let's put the market up, Rog, and see where he's at. There he is, favourite, and some nice horses below him.
Yeah, I'm not surprised he's favourite, but albeit it's not the strongest Stradbroke handicap we've seen. I think there's some better races around the Carnival. Jolly Star, of course, you know, her best, she's a star. $7, yes. $10, Benedetta. Bizasto, I think the plan was always to go to the Fred Best and then into the Stradbroke. He doesn't need to win the Fred Best now to get a spot he's in. Yeah. So the change of plans from what Annabelle alluded to us when she was trying to convince Mytho to pay the late acceptance fee is to roll around in the Kingston Smith and then go into the Straddy.
Yeah, the Kingston Smith will have a big bearing on that market as well.
I believe Kingston Smith's the race of the Carnival for mine.
Is it? Yeah, but and do you know if Jolly Star's definitely going to the
Kingston Smith? I don't, but you're going to have Bizasto, you're going to have Giga Kick. I think it's shaping up as a very nice race, probably better than the Stradbroke. That's still going to be a ripper. The Stradbroke's always a great race, a great viewing race anyway. The Hayes boys, well, they might have just lobbed a Group 1 horse straight into the stable and go bang, bang with him. Third start, very nice indeed. There was also racing at Sandown on the weekend, Richard. We best not forget that. And man, Peter Moody, is currently on a month-long holiday in the UK and Ireland, so it was no great surprise. And it was very humorous to see the stable had their first Metro treble in, well, as long as I can remember. So Catherine Coleman, clearly the smartest one in that operation, running the show down there. You'll notice there wasn't a nose roll inside on these winners. Now, the Moody runners are famous for having the nose roll on. Moody's whacked it on 2-year-olds and then decided, why not put it on all these horses? Well, let's just take a look. This is a video that Nick Quinn from Ladbrokes, our good friend at Ladbrokes, sent through to Peter Moody via our little WhatsApp thread.
G'day, Pete. Just at Sandown, your stable seems to be winning race after race, and I can't quite put my finger on why.
No nose roll, no worries.
See you, Pete. Stay on holidays.
Yes, no nose rolls, no worries. Bang.
He didn't
bang,
miss, Rog. He didn't miss.
He did not. Neither does Catherine. She's very much enjoying this. Don't worry about that. Luke Cartwright,
though, right? Yeah, he was on all three of them.
He was, and he's a young jockey that Moods has had a very high opinion of for quite some time, and I think he's only going to grow fonder of the young fella after a Metro treble. Saban, obviously a stayer of some promise, was victorious, and the way Roadcone won there was very, very nice indeed. But it was the other one that came in at $15 that nobody, including me, did not see coming. I had a little bit of a tip for Saban and also Roadcone, but $15 pop, I did not get a piece of that. So look, hopefully maybe the nose rolls will stay off as even when Moods gets home, but I can't wait for his retort to Quinny's little jibe. Now, as mentioned, he's in the UK. He was at the Irish at the Curra on the weekend for the big Irish races, and there's a bloody nice performance in the Irish 2000 guineas. Rich, you alerted me to this, and then I had a look at the replay and was like, "Wow, we Field of Gold sent out a near even money favourite and won like $1 pop. Absolutely blew them away."
Yeah, it was a very nice win, but the disappointing win was Storm Boy. We've got Storm Boy up here now, and you can see Ryan Moore's just about to click him up, and there's just nothing there. Of course, Storm Boy was favourite for the Golden Slipper, wasn't he?
He was that overrated former Waterhouse and Bot trained colt, the Coolmore over. They put him over there first run under Aidan O'Brien. As you mentioned, Ryan Moore on board, but he never won a Group 1 in Australia. Like, he was big spruik, but he won the best he did was a Group 3. Do we really think he's going to go over there and become a superstar?
Yeah, I think that was hoping against Hope, but this is the problem here that, you know, he's just under pressure and there's just nothing going on there. You see a few people on X and that saying that, you know, often Gay and Adrian, I don't want to say cook, but, you know, get a lot out of their two-year-olds and then there's not much left as they go into three. Maybe that could have something to do with it, or maybe he's just not as good a horse as everybody thought.
But did they get a lot out of him as a two-year-old? That's like a
You could argue that he won the Magic Millions and, you know, he was certainly a successful two-year-old. But, I mean, he's got the stigma now because Coolmore came in and paid $20 million for him at the time and could have been anything up to $50 million if he'd won more races. But Aidan O'Brien said he was green and babyish and they'll persist. I'm not so sure if they will. I wouldn't be surprised if Coolmore come out and say Stormball's retired and they'll, you know, wax lyrical about everything he did as a two-year-old. And look, the breeding game, you don't have to. You look at I Am Invincible. It's a tough sell, but if anyone can do it, Coolmore, and, you know, you're they can give him every chance. And if he starts throwing really good horses, then he's away. You don't have to win Group 1 races as a racehorse to end up being champion, stallion and sire. But look, they'll be disappointed, as will the owners. Maybe the owners can be happy because they think, well, if Coolmore hadn't come along, we wouldn't have got the $20 million. We would have got, you know, what's he worth right now? He's worth a few million dollars at best. So anyway,
yeah,
that's
a bag of chips and a can of Coke. But your performances on the racetrack, they just cover your service fee for the first few years, and then it's all about the performances of your progeny. A performance of great note overseas that I think we need to mention is Damian Lane in Japan. He had a red letter day over there. He had 6 winners on a 12 race card, including the last 5 on the program. All of them were well in the market. But if you're a good jockey, you're going to get good rides. And if you're riding them to win, and they are winning, then you're going to get more and more good rides. So Damian is a world-class jockey, and he's very, very well respected over there in Japan. He does a great job, and that's why he rides the Japanese horses when they come out here too. And the Japanese horses are bloody, bloody good. Speaking of good horses, Hong Kong yesterday.
Yes.
It was another dominant performance by a very, very nice horse.
Yeah, Voyage Bubble. So it's done the Triple Crown. So hasn't been done since 1994. You can see J-Mac really clicking up Voyage Bubble here. You got Dubai Honor on the fence there, fading away. So to win the Triple Crown, you've got to win the Stewards Cup over 1600. You've got to win the Gold Cup over 2000. Then you've got to win the Champions and Chater Cup over 2400. Voyage Bubble has done it all. It's pretty exceptional to do that at the top level, 1600 all the way up to 2400. I just want to highlight J-Mac's ride here. So after the race, I went and watched. The second horse now with the white cap is called Ensued. Trill Mitch just paused it, which I appreciate. Zach Purton's on it. He clicks Ensued up. I'm not sure what he's trying to do. I think he wants to sort of get in front of J-Mac on Romantic Road. J-Mac senses him coming and just pushes forward as well. Keeps Zach out wide so he can't come in because he's got to leave at least a length if he's going to try and in. He can't do that, obviously. Now he starts pestering Dubai Honor. And then you see Markland and Purton just get into this sort of crazy, you know, race for the lead. J-Mac just sitting there. You can tell J-Mac watching this just happening. This is just beautiful here. I'm going to get cover off these horses and just let them fight it out. And then the 300, I'm just going to click right up and go on with it. So I just thought it was just personified what J-Mac's about. Just those little 1% things he does is why he keeps having so much success at the top.
And he might end up having more success over in Hong Kong. Once he breaks the Australian record, I wouldn't be surprised if he started racing more and or riding more and more overseas. If you looked at the results yesterday, though, the Australians, like Hayes, Purton, McDonald, like all those ones with an Australian connection, if they didn't win, they ran second. Nowhere. There was an Australian either in first or second in every single race on the program at Sha Tin yesterday. Let's go now, though. Let's find out exactly what happened to the Ladbrokes book, because there were some heavily backed favourites hit up at the weekend. It's time for Cook the Book.
Cook the Book.
All right, let's get into Cook the Book. Joining us, well, Kingsley Bartholomew from Wolfden is back in the game. Tom Hackett from Ladbrokes is also here, and I'm hoping, because I've got a funny feeling the book might have been cooked at the weekend. Tom, going to start with you. The go for Antino was quite something. It was sustained as well post-Hollandale, and then once the final field market came out, he was just backed as if he was unbeatable. Now, usually with Pride of Genie in the market, it helps sort of get that liability down, but she was drifting like Tom Hanks in Castaway. So I'm guessing it was a pretty bad result for Ladbrokes.
It was a losing result for the book, Rog, but despite the drift on Pride of Genie, she was still our biggest liability in the race, like she so often is. So Pride of Genie was a losing result of $432,000 for the book. Antino, a losing result of $212. So we actually held more in Antino, but because Pride of Genie did get out to that much bigger price, the liability for her was much, much bigger. But it was sort of talked up in the lead up in the press as a race into, and the market basically agreed with that. The two horses combined took up over 65% of the liability, and they were our only losing results in the race. If we'd got an Antino and Pride of Genie beaten, it would have been a big result. But Antino was absolutely dominant. The way he travelled into the race was very, very impressive, and put them away in impressive fashion. So he's been a big shortener in Ladbrokes Cox Plate betting as well.
Yeah, I bet he has. And as we spoke about before, man, Rich, Dan O'Sullivan says he's clearly on ratings the second best horse in the country behind VS Sestina now. Now, Kings, I think you're a bit like me. I couldn't have him that short first time at 2,000 metres. I couldn't believe that he continued to shorten and people were just coming and coming. What price did you have him at? And did you have a crack at any point?
No, I didn't. I had Antino around that $440 mark. And what worried me, I thought Antino had a great chance, obviously, but I thought the price was just too short. They put up $3, eased to around $360, and was really solid late in betting there around that $330 mark. But I just thought coming off that heavy track victory in the Hollandale could be a little bit vulnerable. But as it turned out, I was wrong there. Prior to Jenny, I had $6 in the end prior to Jenny and just had a very small bet on Jenny. But there was a lot of promo money around for Kovalika, was really well backed.
That's because they know that he's never going to win a race. So you can take him on as much as you want.
Well, I'm surprised. Ladbrokes were really keen to lay prior to Jenny as well. They're always 50 cents or a roll over prior to Jenny the whole way. So it doesn't surprise me that Jenny was your worst way.
Yeah, we had Kovalika a bit shorter than the market as well. So Kovalika would have been a good result for us there. But very, very interesting race. And it'd be interesting to follow now, Wentino, going forward.
Yeah, absolutely. One horse you were very keen on, Kings, and certainly got the job done, was one that I thought might get back out and fill her. But she just, the money just continued to come for her. What price did you get her at?
480 I took sort of earlier on Thursday or Friday, and it worked out. Isn't it great when something goes to script? And I laid Benadryl as well at around 370 or 380, but it really smashed in betting late too, Philia. So that was my best result of the day for sure.
How bad was that for the book, Tommy? Because like I said, and I said on the podcast when we were doing our Moody on the Mic the other day, I said if she gets back out at $6, she's a great backup for a Benadryl as the main bet. But she never got out. They just kept coming.
Yeah, did just keep coming. $7.50 she opened at, jumped $3.60 with us. Was a losing result of $86,213. But Benadryl was still better backed, and our worst result in the race would have been a losing result of over $200,000. So Philia was a losing result for us, but not complete damage like we saw in some of the other races on the Brisbane card.
This isn't going as how I'd hoped. I was hoping you would come on here and say that Ladbrokes absolutely hemorrhaged at the weekend. Surely War Machine, he was backed into even money, and he's been very well backed his last few starts. Surely punters ended the day with a huge clip at the book.
Yeah, you don't have to be happy about this one, Roger. Losing result of just shy of $400,000. He was the only one punters wanted. Was the only losing result we had on the race. And it was a mix of the sharp punters were on it, the more casual punters were on it. It was one of those, everyone was chips in together, basically, in the last. And it was a very big result for the punters. So what was already, going into that final race, it was going to be tough for us to finish in front. Actually, basically impossible for us to finish in front at Doom, and based on how the liabilities ended up. But with that losing result of just shy of 400,000, it made it a very rough day for the book at Doomben.
I was hoping for somewhere in the sixes or above, but that'll do. Kings, off the back of those last few runs and his victory and the way how strong he was to the line on the weekend, is he one you'd be thinking for a Stradbroke and you're happy to bet there?
I'm not so sure. I'm not saying he can't win the Stradbroke, but on Saturday there, he had every possible chance, didn't he? He sat, jumped well, good barrier, third fence, peeled off, only went round one horse, got the perfect run. His acceleration over the last 200 was very, very good, though. Eagle Farm's a little bit different to Doomben. Doomben tends to suit those horses that get that nice run, whereas Eagle Farm, we saw Steffi in last year's Stradbroke coming down the middle of the track there. They can often get off the fence. It doesn't suit on-pace horses quite as much, Eagle Farm. You do better sitting midfield and getting off the fence there. So War Machine, and I haven't seen the times, but I reckon War Machine would have run pretty slick time. I think that he'll be really well back with no weight, but it might, depending on barrier, it might be a different story in the Stradbroke, I think.
Tommy, we touched on the Moody Coleman treble at Sandown. Be the first time that's happened for quite some time. We're guessing no one would have had that three-leg multi, not even Catherine Coleman. How was turnover overall at Sandown on Saturday, given it's not one of the sort of big three tracks? Great punting track for those who know, but it's not one of the big three, and there was that Group 1 meet at Doomben as well. Did that take away a bit from turnover in Melbourne?
Turnover at Sandown was still very solid. If you're looking for a week-on-week comparison, it was down compared to Flemington the week prior on sort of all key metrics, but that's unsurprising. Flemington is a track that always does over-index basically across every metric compared to all the other tracks in Victoria. So his turnover was still very solid at Sandown. And then from a Dooman standpoint, week on week, all key metrics, Dooman was well up week on week in terms of turnover, active customers and bet count as well. So I think they did a good job, the Brisbane Racing Club and Racing Queensland, sort of hyping up this clash between Antino and Pride of Jenny. And we think we saw that play out on our numbers, as well as a really good crowd there at Dooman. What was a nice day on Saturday as well.
Kings, what was your best result across the weekend? Was it Filia?
It was Filia, yeah. No, absolutely. Had a good result on Filia. But let's look forward. I've got one at Seymour tomorrow, race 2, number 8, Raya. Great trial, gets B Shin on. The only other danger in the race is a first starter. So Raya's trained by Anthony Friedman. He's got a first starter in there as well, number 11, Winter Hail, which is the only other danger. So I'd love to know what Anthony thought of that, because if he says Winter Hail's hasn't got much hope, I think Raya will get the cash. 280, I think, is good odds. So that's my tip for tomorrow.
I better go get on. I've also been calling Filia Filler all the way through, and I always have a crack at race callers for getting names wrong. So I've got a bit of research myself. I apologise for the viewers there. Hey, Tommy, before we let you go, biggest loser, I'm guessing, was War Machine for the Ladbrokes book. What was your biggest win across the weekend?
Yeah, War Machine, definitely the biggest loser there, Rog. Biggest win was just across the board at Sandown. We saw basically the book finish in front every race, even in the final race of the day, Sandown with Hughes, who was ended up jumping $3.20. Despite that, was still a winning result for the bookers, over 150,000. So basically, everything that we lost at Dooman, we made back, and then a little bit extra at Sandown. So it was still a happy ending to the day for the bookies, Rog, which I know make you very happy to hear.
Just made my Monday. Well done, Tom. Well done, bud, right? Gentlemen, we'll chat to you next week.
Sneak peek.
All right, let's have a look at this Saturday. They're racing at Caulfield. We spoke before about great size. Well, it's the Bella Spree over 1,100 metres at Caulfield this weekend. We should see Cleo Cat go round, who is a very nice progressive horse for Tom Dabney. And that's as the Winter Racing Series kicks off. And then we're done with Doomben. Time to head to Eagle Farm across the road in Queensland, and you've got the Queensland Derby, Rich. And
yep,
well, talk about an open market. Have a look at that.
Wide open, isn't it? Yeah, it'll be a great betting race. Oof. Firm Agreement excites me a little bit. Statuario excites me a little bit. That'll be about it.
Maison Louis, $15. I just want to see another one. It looks a very nice day out of promise, but. Yeah, I was hoping for more out of him last start. The Kingston Smith, as I mentioned, this is the race I'm most excited about across the Queensland Carnival. Jolly Star, $3.50. Giga Kick, $4.50. Of course, was a beaten, well-back favourite last start. Benedetta there at $8. And then double-figure odds for the rest of them. Will we see another bolter from the veteran in Rothfire? I know the locals will be chips in there. And then you got the BRC Sires. This is the Group 2 for the two-year-olds. Gallo Nero at $4.80. Aerodrome was a nice winner at Scone a couple of weeks ago, $6, along with Graft of Earners. High Vol was one we spoke about last week too, a two-year-old with a bit of promise, Rich.
Yeah, there's some horses on the way up there. Prince Tycoon got beat on Friday night in that $1 million National Magic Millions Classic. Be interesting to see if he backs up. I believe they're thinking about doing that. We've also got the Fred Best Classic, but there wasn't any markets up for that. But that's looking being one of the hottest races of the winter.
The winner of the Fred Best and going gets a ticket into the Stradbroke as well. But as I said earlier, Bazasto was going to go around in this. I don't think he will be now because he's already in Australia. I expect him to go around in the Kingsford Smith Cup. Was he in the market in that Kingsford Smith Cup? I don't think he was.
Yeah, we'll go back. Where is he? No, he's not there. Yeah.
No, he's not in that market. So maybe they've decided against it. But if not, there's a price there because he's in terrific form at the moment. It should be another cracking weekend of racing. As I mentioned, we draw toward our season finale when we hit the Stradbroke Handicap, which I do love hanging out with you on a Monday. It's going to be sad not to do it in a few weeks' time, but we've still got a couple of shows to look forward to.
We do. And on Saturday, we're doing one of our Saturday sessions, always very popular. We'll be looking at the six biggest races from Eagle Farm. We'll probably throw in the Bella Spree Stakes because I'm interested to see how Cleo Cat goes. That's basically a live stream with all the boring bits cut out. So we'll be doing that this Saturday and then also the two Saturdays after. That's about it from me. Pleasure doing business with you again, Roger. And I'm looking forward to another huge week of racing.
Bring it on.
You win some, you lose more. For free and confidential support, call the number on the screen or visit the website.